Welcome to the radio broadcast of Mount Calvary Baptist Church. Your Bible teacher today is Pastor Jesse Wagoner.
Our government puts out a particular statistic all the time, each month, called the Consumer Confidence Index. Currently, as of July 2018, it's 127.4. Actually, it is only slightly below what occurred in May, which the Consumer Confidence Index hit an 18-year high. And basically, they poll people to say, do you believe your job is secure? The economy is going well? Is it a good time to invest or start a business? Or do I feel comfortable? And as you also know, numbers like that go up and then they come down. You probably have a confidence number, too, that you could probably assign to yourself. How do you feel confident about your life? Well, whatever your confidence index number is this morning, as we look at verse 6 of Philippians chapter 1, I hope that we can at least raise your confidence index at least one number, okay? You're going to be encouraged today. And the great news is, as we look at this verse of Scripture, you're going to find out that the best days are yet to come. Back in 1985, Bruce Springsteen put out a song called Glory Days. And of course, you use a popular song. Half of us don't know what it was because that's after us, and half of us that's been after, you know, we're too young to remember that. But the song tells the story of a man that he's now just working a regular kind of workaday job, and he's thinking back that when he was in high school, he was a pitcher on the baseball team. And his glory days were back there. Those days that he really longed for, those days that he enjoyed, were back there. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, friends, you might have some good days back there. This might be a good day now, but your best days are yet to come. In fact, compared to those days, these days don't even come. They pale in comparison to what God has for us. And I'm going to encourage your heart with that this morning. And look, if you will, at verse 6. Colossians, I've said that twice now, excuse me. Cut that out of the recording, okay? Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. We're just going to look at this one verse this morning and find some encouragement about it. Now, first of all, Philippians is an interesting book. It's actually an extended thank you note. The believers in the church of Philippi, a city of their day, had sent a gift of some financial support to Paul to encourage him and help him in his ministry. So he sits down to write this letter, thanking them and just giving them encouragement based on this gift. And I'm so glad we still have this thank you note today. Because what a wonderful gift this precious book is. Inspired by the Spirit of God. So when he was writing, what is preserved for us is the actual words of God spoken to his church and spoken to you and spoken to us today. And in this encouragement, he says, as I think about the Philippians, but now because of the inspiration of Scripture, this applies to all believers of all ages. He says, this is a confident thing. Confident thing. Being confident of this very thing. So we start with this idea. You can be confident that Jesus will simply do this. He will finish what he started to do in changing you into the person that he intends us all to be. He is not going to quit in that endeavor. He's not going to quit in that pursuit of making us, changing us into what he determines that we should be. He's just going to continue that. Now he says being confident of that. It's an interesting word in the original. It has the idea of sort of deliberating and thinking and processing and finally reaching a point where now I'm persuaded. Now I'm sure. Now I'm confident that this is true of you. So as we think about life and as we think about the Scriptures and we think about this truth, we come to the realization that this is true. And notice he says, I'm confident of this very thing. If you took the words very thing out of the sentence would still make sense. But those are put in there to be a sort of a highlighter, to turn the spotlight on this truth. He says, I want you really to focus on this. I'm confident of this particular, special, unique, very thing. He wants us to know about it. And he wants to encourage your heart with it. And he wants to move us along. And he wants us to increase our confident level. You know, you think about our confidence and you think about where we are as believers. Sometimes, can we be honest? Can we have a moment of transparency here? Oftentimes, we as believers are woefully lacking in confidence. You know, well, I'm a follower of Jesus, but I really hope not too many people find that out. Because they might think I'm strange or I'm odd or different. Well, you might be strange, odd, or different, but a follower of Jesus Christ is where we find our confidence and our security and our hope. And sometimes we look at the world and we see things going on around us and we think, oh my, that's bad. And we sort of give in to fear. We need to have confidence. We need to know it and we need to have it and we need to live it every single day of our lives. So let's delve in. There's four basic ideas here to help us understand that we can have confidence in Jesus finishing his work. The first one is seen here in this first phrase of verse 6, being confident of this very thing that he who has begun. This thing that he's confident about is spoken by Paul, yes, spoken to a church, yes, but also it's inspired. This is God's word. So we start with this idea. Why can we be confident? Because it's his word that explains it to be true. We have it on the basis of the scriptures. And friends, of all the gifts God has given us, there's many, obviously, and I don't want to rate them in opposition to each other, but what a precious gift this book is to us. That God has bothered to write down his thoughts, his message, the truth, and deliver it to us, finished and complete. Never needed to be revised or never needed to be saying, oh, that could be replaced by something else. This is his revelation. This is what God has spoken to us. So he says, in this word that explains it, I have declared to you, and by the way, it's not only this verse, it is many places in Scripture where God describes to us that we can be confident that this work will indeed continue and will just continue to be part of our experience and ultimately God's going to complete the job. It's because of the Word of God. Now, you have done a great thing to come this morning. Thank you for being here. But I shared this online in our video that I do virtually every week this week. But if you've already seen this, just a little bit of repetition won't hurt. But let me show you a particular plate that was in front of me a few days ago at the dinner table. Does that look appetizing to you? Some vitamins and some fish oil there on my plate that I take every day in the hope, I hope it's not a vain hope, but in the hope that it'll maybe make me a little bit healthier, okay? That's what it is. But those are supplements, okay? Now let me show you a real meal. Now here is a real meal. Especially if you grew up in West Virginia, you know, you got everything, especially the potatoes. Every meal needs to start on a foundation of potatoes. At least that's what I think. But anyway, whether you think that is to your liking or not, that is at least is a meal. Okay, go back to the supplements for a moment, okay? Supplement meal, all right? Good, put the meal back up there. I want to make everybody really hungry from here on out. Now, the reason I implant those ideas in your mind is, you know, I've been involved in I just figured this out the other day. The first website that I helped design was 21 years ago. It's like, wow, that's like forever in the internet age. And we as a church use a lot of technology. This service is streaming live on the internet, and the message is recorded, and we have podcasts, and we're on the radio. We do all this stuff to get all that out. And even the little video I do that these pictures were taken from, we put that out. You get that through the week. I want to encourage you, if you watch, thank you for watching. Those are supplements. What we're doing together now is the meal. Okay, or you can do the meal yourself if you really dig in and really seriously study the word rather than just, you know, a verse and go. But I mean, you really study the word. We need to have the nourishment of a full meal. And I said in the video for these pictures taken from what you're watching right now, this is a supplement. Don't ever succumb to the idea of believing, oh, I just can watch online or I could stay at home or just get a little bit or I can listen to a recording or watch somebody on TV and somehow that is going to make me spiritually nourished. Can it be some supplements? Yes. But in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 18, a very basic definition of the church, he says, when you come together as the church, it's in this kind, there's something special about us being together as God's people, worshiping and singing and giving and loving and opening God's word, that we get our spiritual nourishment from that. So you're come this morning, so thank you for that. I just simply say this, have a very high bar of what keeps you away from this environment. Now, I understand sometimes circumstances in life, job schedule, sickness, I understand. In those situations, you do the best you can with what you got, okay? Got that. But also, If you can be here, because this is what we, and this is what we are reminded of, that God's word tells us things like this. So remind yourself of this often, that God is at work in people like us, that Jesus is alive. And you could also say this work, what is this work that he's begun in you? This good work. Well, you could probably just say salvation. He saved you. He's now going to change you. We have a theological word that's found in the New Testament. It's the word sanctification, if you want a big theological word. It means the process of God is changing us in the real everyday of life more and more and more and more in our character to be more and more like Jesus, the perfect example of character. So he is going to do that. So enmesh yourself in the Word of God. This is what will remind us again and again that these things are true. Secondly, notice it says, what it says here, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work, he who has begun a good work, who is the he? Well, if you read the greater context of chapter 1, you obviously find out that this is speaking of Jesus himself. So the second reason we can have confidence in this ongoing work is that it is his ability who will perform it. It is not ours. It is what he is doing in us. Now you might think in your life, in your world, you know what, I've got a really good automobile mechanic in my life. You know, when my car breaks down, I've got the, or when I get sick, my doctor, he's the best. I trust him. He's got, you know, whatever. Whatever, your plumber, whatever you got in life. You got some people that you trust. That's a good thing. But think with me for what I'm about to say. Listen carefully to what I'm about to say. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you're one of his children, you have Jesus Christ as the resource for everything you need in life. Jesus himself. Not an angel, not a pastor, not a person. Jesus himself. The good work that he began. It is his work. That's the reason he gets all the credit and all the glory for whatever changes in our lives. It's all because of what he has done. Now, let me also just say this for just a moment, if you'll take me, allow me just a moment. If you're here this morning, and maybe you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, maybe you're just here because you're curious, maybe you're here because you felt obligated, or perhaps you were just intrigued, but you've never really become a follower of Christ. You're not a Christian. You've not been saved. Let me just say this to you. Salvation is not a do-it-yourself project. It is not something that you and I can do by our own efforts. There's some part of us and some part of our pride that somehow in our humanness sometimes prefers to say, well, if I could just be good enough, God's got to let me into heaven, right? If my good deeds and good works can outweigh my bad deeds, my bad works, then the balance will tip in favor. And friends, it is not a do-it-yourself project. It is a God performed and done alone project. The Word of God tells us in Titus that it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. He has to change us by his own work. And if you're here today and you say, well, you know what, Pastor, my life is not that bad. Well, that's a good thing. And between you and we can commend each other for that. And maybe you'd say, Pastor, I'm not as bad as someone else. I mean, I could tell you somebody that's really bad. Well, congratulations. God does not grade on a curve. Have you figured this out? There's no sliding scale of being really bad or being really good. We are all bad. We're all sinners. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Doesn't say a little sin or a lot of sin or some medium amount of sin. The wages of sin itself, any sin, is death. And that's eternal death, separated from God forever. I love the rest of that verse from Romans, don't you? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. See, a gift is not earned. It's not a do-it-yourself project. But the gift of God, it is this beautiful thing we call salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. And he says, you just need to come and believe that. You need to believe that you're a sinner. You need to believe that Jesus died on the cross paying for sin. You need to come to the place that you stake the destiny of your soul on what he did and leave nothing of anything I've done or not done out of the equation. It's all on him. If you've never trusted him today, I would encourage you to make this today. If you'd like to talk to someone or pray with someone about that, we'll have pastors here at the front at the end of our service. I'd be glad to talk to you. Maybe you come with a Christian friend that could have that conversation with you. But don't put that off, because it's He who will change you. And if you're a believer in Christ, here's the great news. He's going to change you. You can mark it down, because it's His work that performs it and ultimately does it. And we need to just understand that. And you think about the persistence of our Lord in putting up with us. You see, just because it says He's going to change us does not mean that every day of our lives as Christians that we're just going to guaranteed to live as we should. We all know there are times, even as believers, we can fall into sin, we can fall into Satan's traps, we can fall into temptation. But He's going to be at work. He's not going to stop. Our engagement with that work, our cooperation with that work in obedience and being a person of prayer and being a person that fellowships with other believers and stays in the Word, and when you face those temptations to choose to walk in obedience, all those things somehow cooperate with it. But God in the person of Jesus is not going to stop. You ever think about the patience of our Lord putting up with us? I've been around some young parents recently, and I'm sort of taking me back to Julie and I's parenting days when our kids were little. Have you ever known, you moms know this, how many times you ask your kid a question and you should have asked the second question because the first question and answer was not sufficient? You ever been there? You just need a little follow-up. I read the story of a mother that she had a little child in the home, and the little girl comes and she had a dead fly in her hand. Said, "Oh, honey, what happened?" "So I killed this fly," and the child was excited about it. And the child had just been eating a really juicy pickle, you know, and said, "Oh, come in here." So got the antibacterial soap and, you know, cleaned it all up and said, "Oh, you know, that's really dirty." And she goes back and finishes her pickle. And then mom finally thought, "Well, sweetheart, how did you kill that fly?" "I hit it with my pickle." Just got to ask the next question, right? And somehow they always get you, you know, they always kind of get you. How does our Lord put up with us? That we just again and again and again and again. What a patience of our Lord. But here's what the Scripture says. Being confident of this very thing, that He has begun a good work in you, will complete it. It's His work. Thirdly, His work shows. His work shows it. It shows that it's ongoing. It says there in the verse, He has begun this good work in you, internally. It's about you. It's you as the believers of in Church of Philippi. You as the believers in this day. That God is working in you. And it's going to show. It's going to show. Now, sometimes we get frustrated with ourselves. Right? I mean, we say, where's God's working? Where's it at? Do I see it? Sometimes you really got to look for it. Sometimes you just find those little evidences that maybe God's at work changing me. It's sort of like a plant growing. We have some things growing in our yard and some flowers and so forth. You don't ever see them grow. You don't like, "Oh, look at that, there it goes." It's just you notice the change. Well, that's bigger than it used to be, or that now needs trimmed, or it's finally blooming. And so but you don't ever actually see it changing. You just see the evidence that it has changed. That's sort of how it works in our life. And what I want to encourage you to do, and what I want to encourage me to do, is to be looking for those little evidences of change. As, in essence, catch God at the work that He's doing within us. Can you think of some things in your life that have changed, maybe over the months or over the years? I had this moment a while back. I was driving my car, and I don't know this person's name. I just sort of nicknamed him Roadhog. That just seemed, because their driving skills kind of seemed to fit. It kind of cut me off. But there had been a time that would have ruined half of my day right there. I mean, that would have taken half of my day and half of my joy away. And he kind of pulls in. I just get off the accelerator and lets him go. And I'm just driving down the road. And it finally struck me. Lord, maybe You're finally trying to build something into me that's a little more, you know, calm in spite of Mr. Roadhog driving down the road, okay? And I'm just thinking, I just had to say, well, Lord, that's got to be You working. I don't think I could have, it's got to be You. Thank You for that. Now, that does not mean the next time that happens that I maybe will do it exactly right. But you find those moments. Maybe I'm a little more patient. Maybe I'm a little more kind. Maybe I'm a little more resilient. Maybe I'm a little more confidence in my trust in the Lord. Find those little markers of God being at work in your life and mark them and enjoy them and just do this. So mark every sign of progress that comes along. Mark them as that. Now, sometimes we have to kind of look back to do that. You think of Paul as he writes this letter. You think of this guy. I mean, you talk about what God has taken him through. He's been shipwrecked. He's been snake bit. He's been hated. He's been mistreated. He's been run out of town multiple times. He's been stoned. He's been beaten. He's been locked up. He's been hated by his own people. He's been betrayed by some of those closest to him. And yet he goes on. Why? I think he was just a guy that knew that God was at work in his life. And maybe he didn't even know how much, but God was at work in his life. Do you know God's at work in your life? How do I know that? The scriptures tell us so. It's the ability of Jesus that performs it. And you can find evidences of it if you look for it. Now, there's probably most of us a few, and maybe it's a small few, a few of those major moments in life when God just really showed up magnificently and abundantly and very, very, very publicly. And you say, wow, that's a mark. Mark those well in your life and keep hold of them. But those everyday moments where you see Him changing, you mark them well. Because if you watch and you look with eyes of faith and you look with eyes that believe this verse, you're going to catch God at work in your life and find encouragement and find some joy and find some supply that's going to develop confidence in you as you go forward. Mark every sign of progress in life. Let's read the verse again. Being confident of this very thing, that He has begun a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to start at the end and kind of work my way back here because I want to define what the day of Jesus Christ is, and then we'll talk about what Jesus is going to finish getting us there. If you actually look down in verse 10, just down the page a bit, you will see He mentions the day of Christ again. I want to encourage you to read two passages of Scripture, okay? The last half of 1 Thessalonians 4 and the first half of 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5. If you didn't get that written down, I will see me later and I'll give you what it is. But in that passage, he details the day of the Lord, or also could be called the day of Christ. If I could just summarize it up into one package, that is when Jesus has his day. When all who reject him, he will be vindicated before all of those. He is going to come back. He is going to return. He is going to take the church to be with himself for all eternity. And he's going to be finished with the role of the church. And and all that are alive at that moment, if it's us or a future generation, all of the church is going to immediately be changed into their eternal status, their character like Christ. The dead in Christ, the bodies, souls already with the Lord, but the bodies will be raised at that moment to join the Lord in the air, and everything as far as the church is concerned will be complete. So until the Lord comes, until the Lord takes the church to be with himself, until it's all wrapped up, Jesus says, I'm going to continue the good work in you. He is not going to stop. So fourthly, it's his promise that secures this truth. How do we know that's true? I just read it to you. It's in verse 6 of Philippians chapter 1. It's a promise. You and I have promises that we make and promises that we break. Sometimes we break them because we want to break them. Sometimes we break them because we didn't have any other choice. We couldn't pull it off for whatever reason. God has never, ever failed to keep a promise he's made to his children or anyone else. And this promise says that he is going to continue to work. I hope the confidence meter, is starting to tick up. That we can be confident in the Lord. We can be excited followers of Christ. We can be those who take this message out into a world who desperately needs to hear it. Why? Because he's at work within us. And he is not going to stop. Now, there are times, I understand, in life where things get shaky. I've heard this many times over the years. Pastor, things are going bad in the world. I see what's going on there and here and what I read in the news. Are we getting close to the end of the world? And my thought is, if we are, that's a good thing. It is. Have you read the last chapter? Jesus wins. I mean, that's the final headline. It's all good. Now, is there going to be some turmoil and that sort of thing? For us individually, may things get dark and difficult? Maybe. Maybe. But the day of Christ is going to come. That's His promise. And the fact of the matter is, whatever He takes us through to that point, until that point, it's His work. He's not stopped. He's not absent. He's here. He's at work there. So what do? We just run back to this promise again and again and again and again. You pick up the headlines, or you see the news, or you read it online. Oh, it's all bad. No. Because we know how it all ends. And God's at work now, and He'll get us to that point. What about our individual lives? Sometimes our sensibilities are shaken. Sometimes we're just like we're fearful. What about what's next? What about my job, career, finances, blah, 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 health? Well, it may get better or worse depending on our point of view, but glory days are not back there in high school. Glory days are not back when you were young. Glory days are not those moments that you really enjoy and you treasure. Glory days are not those days that you accomplish something really exciting in your life. Glory days are when Jesus returns and all things are as they should be. And friends, that's what we fasten our mind. Run to that. You get scared? Run back to that. Remind yourself of that. Find encouragement in that. Don't let go of that. Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. This is ongoing. It's going to be the case. Confidence. How does, you know, some ways it may be, at least from a human perspective, no wonder that we as followers of Christ do not get more respect than we do. We're always going to be somewhat disrespectful because people reject our Savior. But sometimes it's because we just lack a real confidence in living for Him. Because rather than expressing joy and peace, we express something else. Rather than expressing love for other people as God wants us to do, we view people with suspicion and we suspect what they're up to and we judge their motives and so forth. Friends, you and I can walk in confidence, in surety. In reaching this conclusion that what Jesus has begun, He will indeed complete. I wish there was some way that I could just flash this verse on the screen of my mind every day. And some way I could just kind of send you that file so that it would flash on the screen of your world and your life every day to encourage you. The best I can do is just tell you that this is what God says in the only book He ever wrote that's called the Bible, and say it is there for your benefit. There's three aspects of our life, and you really can't see it in the English, but where it talks about this good work that He will complete. You see, in English, there's only three tenses of a verb. There's past tense, present tense, future tense. In Greek, there's a couple more tenses inserted in there that we have a hard time expressing in English. But basically, the way you'd express this particular tense is, it's occurring now, but the results are then. So it's sort of a now and then tense, if we could say it that way. And that's the whole flavor of this verse. Now He's at work, then He will be finished. The fact that He's working now will guarantee it will finish. The fact that He will finish guarantees that He's working now. It all fits together into a very intricate and sealed together package. Oftentimes we just want to live in the past, you know. Oh boy, look at that, and that gets me down, or that whatever, or my glory days are back there. Let me just give you this statement in conclusion. Forget the past. Participate in the future by being a person of the Word and fully participating in the life of Christ and in the work of the church, and then look to the future, because this is what the Scriptures say. Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Be encouraged, my friend. Be confident in Him.
You've been listening to the radio broadcast of Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston. Mount Calvary Baptist Church is located at 1509 Bigley Avenue in Charleston, West Virginia. Worship services are at 9 a.m., 11, and 6 p.m. For more information, contact calvarywv.com.